It's Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. And if you want to look at that through the church Bible, it's page 988. So Matthew chapter 21, verses 1 to 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heavens!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee."
So I want to start this morning by recalling a wonderful story that stirs deep emotion in me. I get quite tearful when I think about it quite often. And that is, if you can see the first slide, Owen, Wales's 2019 Grand Slam. Now, not only is that a precious day to me, does it get me excited because I think about the fact that that's when the Wales last won a Grand Slam, one of many they've won, I hasten to add, but also because, if you show the next slide, Owen, this is the bit that really stirs joy in me. Historic Grand Slam with emphatic rout of woeful Ireland. Look at that score, 25-7. Where is he? Dave! Everybody was thinking of you at that moment. What a wonderful day that was. And oh, but it stirs tears as well because, how things have changed. Ireland's certainly not woeful, and Wales certainly are at the moment, but I have faith. So that is a day that stirs wonderful things in me. Maybe you were there that day. If you were there that day, or if you have any idea what supporting Wales looks like or Wales supporters look like, what would they have been waving that day? Any of the kids want to shout out? What gets waved at Wales rugby games? Daffodil, that wasn't a kid. Phil, daffodils, yeah? Sorry? Flags, Welsh flags. I think we might have that on the next slide. Yeah, we've got daffodils, Welsh flags. Leeks occasionally. You do see occasionally see sheep on top of people's heads, don't you? Which is probably inexplicable to a non-Wales fan. But yes, they wave flags, they wave daffodils, they wave leeks. And they wave them excitedly on that day because Wales won the Grand Slam. Now, in some ways, and we're going to see there are only some ways, in some ways, the account of Palm Sunday that we had read to us by Chris makes me think of occasions, great victory occasions, like a Grand Slam win when the crowds are so excited. Because in Jerusalem on that day, Jerusalem normally apparently had between 50 and 70,000 people. That sounds like a lot. But you know, at Passover, when the pilgrims were coming there, which is the time of year that this was, the population of the city would have swelled to over 250,000. That's nearly four principality stadiums full of people thronging the streets as Jesus came in. And when Jesus entered, busting at the seams, Jerusalem, the excited crowds, many of whom were from Galilee, where Jesus had grown up, excited about Jesus' teaching, excited about his healing, excited about the fact, wait for it, that he'd raised a dead man back to life, excited about the fact Jesus had done all these things, were welcoming Jesus as he came into the city. They called him the prophet. They called him the Son of David, which was another way of saying, here's the expected king, descended from King David we've been waiting for all this time. So many in the crowd did what on that day? They waved leeks and daffodils, right? What do they wave? I mean, were you listening to the reading? Good, we've got some hands up. We've got hands up there. What do they wave? Palm leaves, palm branches. I think we've got a picture of them. So palm leaves, now these have been from date palms. Date palms could grow to 100 feet high. That's pretty big. So you had some very brave people probably scaling up these palm trees and cutting off the palm branches so that they could wave them. They didn't have flags. They didn't have leeks. They waved the palm branches to welcome Jesus in. Might seem a bit strange to us, but of course you couldn't go to a shop to buy a flag or a banner or a leek. So you had to have something else. And palm branches also had a really historical meaning to the Jews. Over 100 years before this day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem, there'd been an evil ruler called Antiochus Epiphanes, and he'd been oppressing the Jews, and a man, a Jewish man called, this is a great name, wouldn't you love to have a name like this, Judas the Hammer Maccabeus, had defeated Antiochus Epiphanes and all his forces, and when they welcomed him in and celebrated his victory, what do you think they waved? Palm branches. And so when they were waving these palm branches on this day, they were saying that Jesus was a king and a conqueror and a ruler like Judas Maccabeus had been. This was their Messiah, conqueror, king, come to boot out the Romans at last. Back to the Grand Slam. At the Wales Grand Slam, and you're answering these questions very quietly, by the way. What gets shouted at, I'm looking at Caleb right now. What gets shouted when Wales are winning in the rugby? You're looking at me, it's a really difficult question. Let me ask the question again. What gets shouted when Wales are winning in the rugby? Wales! Wales! What did they shout this day when Jesus entered Jerusalem? Now, here's a clue. You should know this word really well. What did they shout? Yeah, Humphrey. Hosanna. What did he say?
Hosanna.
Oh, man. What did he say? Hosanna. Imagine tens of thousands, potentially people, shouting that word out as Jesus comes in. It was a cry of celebration. Steve's already mentioned this a few times. It was a cry of celebration, but it had started out as a plea to God. The word Hosanna, Hoshana, meant, oh, save us. And it had become a cry of celebration. So they were celebrating Jesus coming in, but they didn't realize how appropriate the word was they were shouting, because they were shouting as they celebrated their king coming into Jerusalem. They were shouting, oh, save us. They were shouting better than they knew. They wanted to be saved from the Romans. Here's a question for you. What did, and you are concentrating very well, kids, I can see, and you're going to need to keep concentrating because there's a quiz in a bit. What did the people on that day need saving from more than they needed saving from the Romans? Oh, okay, we'll go. Okay, shout out if you think you know the answer. Their sin, nice one, good answer, straight away the right answer. Their sin. I don't know if that's a word that's familiar to everybody in the room or not, but if you look into your heart, honestly, what you will see is not perfection, but quite a bit of bad stuff along with the good stuff. And God is a wonderful, beautiful, pure, holy God, and we can't come into his presence because of the sin in our hearts. We need rescuing from our sin, and that's why Jesus entered Jerusalem on that day. That's why Jesus entering Jerusalem was so much bigger than a Grand Slam win or any other wonderful event in history. At the Grand Slam, what gets sung at a Wales game? Hands up if you can answer this question. What songs get, polite answers only, what songs get sung at Wales games, Wales rugby games? Anybody? Delilah. Yeah. You knew you were going to get a controversial answer from somebody. You know, we'd be told not to sing Delilah in winning, and it gets sung anyway. What other songs? Yeah, Caleb? My Hymn, Lav and Hardai, the national anthem. Brilliant. Any other songs you can think of? Hymns and arias. I'm so tempted to try and sing it, but I don't want to put you off and send you away. More, yeah? So again. Oh, Amohid. Oh, yes, Amohid. Last one. Caleb, any others? Say again. Kalon Lan. Yeah, I think that's all the ones I had, actually. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. That gets sung, too, ironically, isn't it? Because most people don't know what the words mean these days, but that gets sung at the games, too. When Jesus entered, it was a famous Jewish song. I think we can see the words. From Psalm 118. Now, I don't know exactly how they did it, whether they sung it to a tune or chanted it, but the Psalms in your Bible are praise songs by the people of Israel, and Psalm 118, verse 26, said this, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." If you look at the account that Chris read, they were singing that, they were chanting that, they were shouting that, because to them, that showed that Jesus, they were acknowledging Jesus was the promised rescuer, the promised king. But here's the thing about Psalm 118. It doesn't say that Jesus was coming to throw out the Romans. It says something else. A little bit earlier in the psalm, we read these words, if you can put them up online, verse 22. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it's marvelous in our eyes. That same psalm they were singing to say Jesus is king is the same psalm that said that Jesus would be rejected. Jesus had been welcomed that day, but a day was coming very soon where he was going to be rejected, violently rejected. Now, maybe by this point you're fed up with all the rugby talk. I'm thinking of Amy in particular. Sorry, Amy. She probably gets a lot of rugby talk, as a lot of people in the room probably do. So let's think about something else instead. Hopefully you'll see there's a link to the story. Red carpets. Let's think about red carpets. I think we've got a red carpet picture. Hands up. Who do you normally see? What sort of people do you see on a red carpet? Yeah, shout out. Say again, sorry. Celebrities. Celebrities. Anybody want to... This is dangerous. Any particular celebrities you're thinking of? Come on, I know there's some Swifties in the room. I know people want to say Taylor Swift. Yeah, anybody, any other famous people you can think of? You don't own up to the famous people you know of. Who else appears on red carpets? Celebrities, famous people like singers, actresses, actors. Anybody else you can think of who appears on red carpets? Royalty. I think we've got a few examples. So there's the royal family going through it right now, aren't they? We need to be praying for them. The royal family appear on red carpets, Taylor Swift. This next one, with a very cool name. Anybody know this fella's name? Idris Elba. It's a great... It's a Welsh and an African name. Idris, what a cool name. Idris Elba, very cool actor. So these are the people in our society who appear on red carpets. Now, in our record of the triumphal entry... When we read in Matthew, we read in John that they were waving the palm branches. In Matthew, we read that they were throwing the palm leaves on the floor. And what else were they throwing on the floor? Did you catch that? Did you catch what they were putting on the floor as Jesus came into Jerusalem? Yeah, Humphrey. Their clothes. So it's like us taking off our jumpers, our jackets, and putting them on the floor. Are you that impressed with anybody that you take off your jumper or your jacket to put it on the floor? Maybe some of the Swifties in the room are, I don't know. I can't see myself doing that, even for someone I'm a fan of. That's what they were doing, and that was like laying out the red carpet for Jesus as he came into Jerusalem. Now then, what do royalty and actresses and actors and rock stars, what do they arrive in when they turn up at a big event? Yeah. Jeep. They do these days, I think. I was going to say limousine, but Jeeps, big Jeeps sometimes as well. What else do they arrive in? Thinking of royalty as well. Horses are often involved drawing a carriage. Someone said helicopters. I didn't think of helicopters. I haven't got a helicopter picture. If you look at the next few. So that's the sort of thing that royalty will arrive in. And the next one, I wouldn't mind one of these myself. Hint, hint. A nice limousine. Or just a riding one would be nice sometime. I've never been in one. Oh. What did Jesus arrive in? On, I should say, in Jerusalem that day. The boys are answering lots here. So, George, someone who hasn't answered yet. What did Jesus arrive on that day? Yes. A donkey. So we've got a really good photo next. I knew that would get an R. That's what Jesus arrived on. Not on the ancient version of a limousine or not in a carriage. And certainly not on a carriage with four horses drawing or anything like that, on a donkey. Why a donkey if he's the king? Well, to show the sort of king he is. Of course, he was at this point, he was passing a point of no return. He was saying, yes, I am king. And at that point, he was getting himself in trouble with the Romans and with the Jews because he was acknowledging he was king. But what sort of king was he? Well, the answer and the reason he was riding on the donkey was to fulfill a particular promise, prophecy in the Old Testament from Zechariah. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion, see your king comes to you righteous and riding a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So probably the scholars think he was riding a young donkey with the donkey's mum next to it to keep it calm. He's riding a little donkey next to another donkey. He's showing that yes, he is the king who's been promised, but he's the humble king. He's not a proud king. By the way, very brief sidebar, as David Lawler would call it. for the adults in the room, or and the kids as well. If you're interested, you can look this up later. In the Old Testament, when someone is referred to as the King of Zion, who do you think it is? It's not, generally speaking, the king like David on the throne. It's God. Zion's king in the Old Testament is God. What was happening on this day? The Son of God, God the Son, was riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. That's what happened for people like us on that day. So I think it's fair to say the crowd were excited about Jesus coming to Jerusalem. He hadn't won a grand slam, but he'd healed. He'd stunned people with his teaching. He'd raised the dead. And they were wondering, what was he going to do for them? What was he going to do for Jerusalem? Well, the answer is not what they expected, which was restore Jerusalem and throughout Rome. No, he was going to do something greater. So they were expecting one thing, and what they got was something else. There's a difference today as well between the Jesus people expect and the Jesus people want, and the real Jesus, who is the Jesus we need. The Jesus we sometimes praise in church, unfortunately, I don't think is the real solid Jesus who's actually worthy of our praise. The Jesus we want, maybe, if you believe in Jesus and you want him in your life, sometimes it's because you want your life made easier. You want him to get rid of your immediate problems. You don't want him to make too many demands on your life, certainly. Maybe you want him, I want this often, you want him to sort out your health, your relationships, your finances. Or maybe you want him to sort out your country, your nation. Now, of course, Jesus can do all those things, and he cares about all those things, but that's not the main reason he came. Why did he come? Well, the answer is in that word, our big word for today, which begins with H, which, kids, is? Hey, yeah, yeah. Okay. Which is 1, 2, 3.
Hosanna.
Because of what that word means. Yes, it was a praise word, remember, but it meant, Lord, save us. That's what we need from Jesus. And remember, the cry on this day for Jesus was Hosanna. The cry later on would become something very different, which is crucify him. The crowds in Jerusalem would be shouting, crucify, put him on the cross, kill him. Was that a disaster? From one point of view, yes, but it wasn't for us, because it was God's plan that he would die on that cross to take away our sins. Later in Matthew, we read this, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many to take away our sins. That's why he went to the cross. They were going to cry, crucify. But a little bit later, the cry about Jesus would be different again. It wouldn't be Hosanna. It wouldn't be crucify. It would be, he is risen. So look, it's possible to get excited about Jesus like the crowds and miss the point. That he came as Savior, the King of heaven and earth, the Son of God, rode into Jerusalem that day, knowing he was heading for the cruel cross to save sinners like us from our sins. You know, when Wales won the Grand Slam, and when they win any game, in fact, it kind of feels, when I'm on the sofa at home cheering, it kind of feels like they've done it for me. They don't know me. None of them know. I met George North once, but he doesn't know me. They don't know me. They don't know I'm screaming and shouting at home on the settee, supporting them, but it feels like they've done it for me. Jesus Christ, the Son of the Eternal God, actually rode into Jerusalem intending to go to that cross for me. And if you believe that's who he is and that's what he did for you, then he did that for you. Jesus rode into the city knowing he was going to die for you. This is how much God loved them and how much he loved us. And my question for us this morning is he really ours? Can we really cry out, Hosanna, Jesus, save me, knowing that the answer is yes? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this wonderful detailed account of what Jesus did that day as he rode into Jerusalem. Thank you that he knew that the joy and celebration and adulation was going to turn into something very different, but he kept going for us out of love for us. Thank you, Lord, that if we believe this and believe in him this morning, then our hearts can cry, Hosanna. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.